as a guide. You'll be inspired by Allison's passion, her amazing on-air readings, insightful topics and guests. You don't want to miss Allison's show Monday nights on BBS. Visit Allison at www.visiblebynumbers.com for more information. Be well.
Good afternoon. It's a bit late. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. I say it's a bit late because this is Veronica Entwistle, and Radiance by Design was ceased abruptly by a power shortage at BBS Radio. But they're back up, and so are we. I have to laugh that the power shortages are, you know, people say, well, there's a solar eclipse, and it's 9/11. And I was trying to send out a flyer about what I was going to talk about on both Radiance by Design and what my guest was going to talk about on Paradigm Shifters. My guest is a pretty amazing body chiropractic, body-mind kind of guy, and he was on a Mongolian horse trek with the Eagle people. But the irony is that my email would not go out. We had all kinds of electronic failures. And I was so frustrated, and I thought, maybe I'm getting a message here. And then things got worse here, and then my guest didn't want to come. He wasn't feeling well. Then the woman next door came over and said, her phones are all down. And then BBS Radio was down. And I thought, oh, we're getting a little bit of a message here that we're not supposed to be on. But now we are, so let's talk about being you and me, and I want you to call in and play with me today. We're going to talk about our inner, you know, we've been talking about the inner child and getting in touch with your inner child so you can change that which you radiate into the world. Because when we radiate the resistances from our inner child or the tantrum from the inner child or that really kind of weak feeling of wanting to be looked after and what are some other ones? Some fear of the physical dimensions because somewhere it's just loaded with judgments and limitations. Fear of money or confusion, absolutely hyperactivity about money. There's a lot of inner child symptoms when inner child is in distress. Now that I'm 100 years old, I realize that the inner child is alive and well and will always be because she's also the one that wants to play, that wants to go, whoopee, we're on the air, we're going to have some fun here, we're going to talk to everybody. Oh boy, isn't that fun? And we're going to talk to you today about your inner child, what's going on. And then move to the inner adolescent. And the inner adolescent we talked about several times as well. I believe our inner adolescence or our adolescence runs till you're about 20. Some of my feedback on my adolescence show referred to it being about 12, 13, 14. But my understanding is that it goes right up to 20. And in this day and age when maturity takes a little longer because its breadth, its our ability to accomplish so much more, learn a lot more, incorporate a whole bunch of new thoughts and feelings regarding where we're headed in life is just getting much more expanded. I believe that adolescence goes a whole lot longer, but I'm not going to write that in a textbook yet. We're just sort of watching people emerge. I also believe that adolescence, which is a time of kind of willfulness and reactiveness, rebellion, and so on, adolescence is a time of wild genius, creative genius, of opening to amazing expansion, but it's also a time of being stubborn and not taking any advice and resenting authority and so on. And I believe that that emerges, inner child, a new level of the inner child, and a new level of adolescence emerges off and on in life as we enter a new phase or a new career or a new marriage or a new hopefulness or even a new range of possibility and potential, because you have uncovered a new depth and a centering of your own being. It's pretty fascinating how many times we go through a new level of adolescence. And what I've been trying to talk about with the guides and with you on the air on BBS Radio on Radiance by Design is when we get in touch with our inner child and we get in touch with our adolescence, we actually get in touch with some of the defiances that might be emanating out in the world and creating problems for us. Once we get to know those parts of ourselves, well, hot diggity, we can soften them, soothe them, change them, answer their call, and then change our way of radiating into the world and attracting drama or melodrama or whatever it is. I'm going to give you the numbers. Oh, first of all, I want to do the structures. Second of all, I forgot to finish my little spiel there, which is, and we're also going to move into our inner adulthood today. We're going to explore what that looks like, what it feels like, what are our preferences about it, what is it all about, and are you ready, willing, and able to bring a vital and lively inner child, inner adolescent, who also might, I would say both the child and the adolescent, will come to new levels of themselves, and having the confidence to experience them alive, awake, and enthusiastic as we enter new phases of our adult living. And adult living, if we're really smart about it, if we're lucky, if we're healing, because I don't believe we're ever healed, I believe that life's process is very much about unfolding many, many reactions and recreating and redefining our center, our terms of self, our reactiveness in order to create more of a proactiveness, shifting our radiance all the time to let the essence of our being enter the room with us so that we can let the radiance that's full of possibility, hopefulness, upliftingness, bringing others to uplifting. We really do a lot of that's my goal as Radiance by Design kind of tutor here. We do a lot of political shifting in the world, a lot of helping people by radiating at a higher and higher level. And then, of course, we're participating in a huge paradigm shift. So you see, I'm interviewing myself today, Veronica Entwistle, intuitive and energy counselor, as a paradigm shifter on my own show, Paradigm Shifters. Up and coming, we have some amazing guests. Not today, but over the next few months, including Barbara Ann Clough and Carl Kellerman, who's had a lot to do with the Toltec Wisdoms. He works with the Diksha people. He's an oncologist, a cancer doctor, a cancer expert with WHO organization, World Health Organization. He talks a lot about the Mayan calendar in 2012. He's quite the world expert on that. He's coming in to talk with us over the next few weeks. Patrick Flanagan, who created microhydrin, microclustered water, and other brilliant, brilliant aids to our longevity and health, is coming in. And Amrita Cottrell, who healed herself with breast cancer, and the way she did it was she began to make sounds, and she was listening to her own guidance. Her own guidance prompted her a great deal to make sounds through her body and so on, and she began to study music at university. And she and her partner, who was a partner for a while, I believe his name is Sage, created the most wonderful healing sound CD. And Bob is a sound expert who's creating high-end speakers. Anyway, he finds that it's a great reference CD. Both of us sort of shake and shimmy when we hear the sounds on it and the music. And Amrita is going to come on the air, and I don't know which time she's going to come on, but we're going to start using her music as my background music or as my entry and extra music. It's very vibrationally alert and very vibrationally healing. But she healed herself of breast cancer. She went the normal route for her first round. In her second round, she said, "I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to do it my way." And she now teaches the art of sound healing. That's just a few of the up-and-coming guests on Paradigm Shifters, because these people really are. Now, one of the things that my guides have taught me as we learn more about radiance, choosing our radiance, mm-hmm. radiating by design, and also manifesting, they taught these wonderful vibrational forms called structures. And I wonder if we, you and I, better take a few minutes and set up our vibrational structures to both protect us and enhance the rate at which we're going to manifest, and enhance the rate at which we're going to manifest that which we prefer in our lives. And when we create these structures, you can take into the structure anything that you're working on. Even it's a couple of weeks ago, we did the inner adolescent. We took her into the structure, or him, and really helped him or her act out and be acknowledged and help soothe him. You can take any problem you want into these vibrational structures, and oh boy, they are really effective. I'd love to get your feedback on what you experience with the structures. Because for me sometimes, and I'll do them like twice a day, sometimes vibrationally I am so charged by the end of doing my work in my structures. I'm just like, buzz. And hey, that's what we want. Not to be a bumblebee, I didn't mean it that way. All right, so take a few minutes and close your eyes unless you're driving your car. And just take a moment, and we'll let the violet flame come in and sort out the energy in our room. To see and feel the violet flame, the gift from Saint Germain, the Ascended One. Have the violet flame move round and round your room, wherever you are, your office, your room, big space, little space. And have the violet flame dance and burn and dance and burn and transform all the leftover thoughts and feelings in this room. Good work. And now take a deep breath and relax. And then overhead, perhaps 2 miles, see there a golden ball, and the gold is so radiant, so powerful. And it's also moved to white, gold and white. The white is for platinum and the other noble gases that are in there. And again, create a golden ball below your spine. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine down into the lower golden ball. And feel that filament of light radiate, radiate, radiate. You can feel it buzzes your body. Now see around your waist a whole series of golden balls, perhaps 8 feet in radius around your waist. Aren't they shimmering? And now from the upper golden ball to that series of golden balls, drop many, many, many streams of light, radiant filaments of light, so that you've got a canopy pointing upwardly. And then again, from the series of golden balls, many, many strings of light from this side, from the golden ball to the one below your spine, so that you're in a canopy pointing up and a canopy pointing down. That's your structure. And now inside of this structure, create an etheric crystal ball, the edges of which nudge the inside of your structure. Good. And inside of that, place yourself in a double tetrahedron, a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And so you're in a kind of a diamond shape. So you're in this double tetrahedron, and now spin it. Spin it and spin it and spin it. Spin it until you're going really, really, really fast. Good. And now in front of you, see a screen, and on that screen you place that which you wish to create, what you wish to manifest, what you wish to heal. And remember, see the visions of what you're wanting to create, but also feel them. I want you to really feel whatever you're trying to manifest. So perhaps it's a healing of your financial. See yourself and feel yourself feeling much safer and much calmer. See yourself creating your job shift, your new partner, new love, with some of your physical healing. some of you connecting with your higher guidance. And just feel the energy present. The other thing we can use this for is for safety. Feel yourself being vibrationally protected, knowing that you're safe. I want to feel myself just having a good time and laughing and playing. Do you ever think that sometimes we don't do enough of that? So put that in your structure too and feel what it's like. Good work. And now move back into your spinning double tetrahedron. Is it still moving? Or is yours slowed down? And if it's slowed down, move into it and then just spin it a little. Give it another little couple of twists. Excellent. Now, how did that feel? I think you ought to call me and let me know how that feels. And I'm going to give you the numbers right now. Just hang on one sec. Right. And the numbers, if you're in the U.S., are 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, 888-815-9756. And if you call on the direct line, it's 530-876-3222. 530-876-3222. So I don't know if there's anybody listening out there, because we're not on at the time that we said we were going to be, and nobody got a flyer from me about this, so I hope we're still going to get a caller. So call in. All right, so what we were talking about is finding your adult self. Are you there? That was a huge click. Okay, so what we're talking about is finding your adult self. What is the goal here? When I talk about radiance by design, what the guides are talking about is sovereignty over yourself, becoming your authentic being. And your authenticity is a good word to describe what you radiate out in the world. If you're out of authenticity, if you're out of congruency, if you're out of integrity, guess what? You go into a room, or you're talking to people, or you're in your relationship, and you radiate a kind of a discordant energy that really jars people, that can really create some kind of problem. And so when we talk about radiating consciously and radiating as a Oh, great, we have a caller. I'll just finish this thought. Thank you. Radiating consciously, radiating by design. What you want to radiate is who you really are. And you want to have healed a lot of the reactions that are within you. That means the reactions of defensiveness, of jealousy, of suspicion, all of those kinds of things. So we're going to take this call, and we're going to carry on with this subject as we go. So good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. This is Ted.
Hey, Ted. How you doing?
Well, okay.
Well, I'm glad that you found that I was on the air.
It was kind of an accident.
Okay.
I didn't. My computer wasn't working, and I tried my other one, and that wasn't working, and so I fooled around with it for, and then here it is.
Isn't it funny? Because there's been a lot of electronic breakdown today, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just me. So what's up with you, Ted?
Well, I'm still in the same kind of spot. I've got a possibility of some, maybe teaching junior high, and I just don't know if I want to do that. And I also had a financial move that looked good, and it did turn out to be really good, but I didn't get in it, and I just got so, you know, just like you said, I just got so upset. Jeez Louise. I mean, my anxiety level just really went up, you know, just like you said. You know, I'm trying to breathe through it and everything. So I still want to do all this finance stuff, you know, with the options and things. It's really a good thing. But, boy, what to do about my emotions? So I was just now, you were doing this thing, and I was thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm doing planning a move, and I'm just seeing that happen with the financial move and feeling relaxed, and I wasn't sure if that was the way to go. So anyway, I just, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what to do with it. Because it would give me a lot of freedom if I could get it to go and happen. And it wouldn't matter so much, you know, what kind of position I got or not didn't get. You know, I'd still have this as a nice backup. Are you still there? Oh, shoot. Well.
Hello. Sorry.
Hello. Well, I had it turned on, a radio on. Should I turn that off now? While I'm on the line, I don't know.
I think probably. Yeah, I think you have to turn it down a little bit.
Well, I got it down.
I don't think that's what happened.
It down.
We just got disconnected.
Yeah. Did you hear all? I don't know if you heard all that.
I believe what you said was that you hadn't gotten your job yet.
Right.
And what the guy's just saying, first of all, that. Oh, do you feel all choked up lately?
Well, I have this, well, what I was asking about, I was doing this financial thing with options, and which is much safer than what people think it is. But at any rate, I really got anxious, you know, with this whole thing. And it was, you predicted it, and you're absolutely right.
That's funny. I always laugh and say, I don't believe in predictions because we create a reality, right?
I know it. Damn it. You know, it's frustrating.
I know, but it's really interesting because you've got yourself kind of hamstrung. First of all, there is another teaching job. But I don't think it's coming up till October.
Oh, yeah.
And it might be what you kind of want. You don't really want it, except you don't want to be worried about money, and it looks like it's not a bad job.
Okay.
And I don't know why it comes up in October, probably because... Oh, because they're shifting something around, and they've recreated a kind of a class or class size or something.
Oh, okay. No.
And you won't mind that, but as far as the options go, it seems like you could change how you're handling this. You know, you're just kind of, let's talk about the inner child and the inner adolescent, because there's a part of you that freezes and really panics over this stuff. Do you realize
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like at the, not even at the thought level.
Exactly. That's exactly.
It's so
right.
Weird because it's very positive. I think, oh yeah, this is exciting, and I mean, those are my thoughts, and my stomach is just going rock.
I know, but how were you as a little? I mean, let's do this. Let's everybody at home join us in this exercise because this is what we've been talking about. We're going to move to the inner child because there's something going on in you, Ted, that started when you were. Was there a great deal of overwhelm in your life? When you were small?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can leave it that simple. We don't have to get very complicated with this word, work.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to ask everybody at home to call up, let's see, two things. One is, and I have something that I want to do myself, and I'm kind of anxious about it. So let's call up something, some threshold we want to go through or something we want to do. We'll talk about options, Ted.
Uh-huh.
And just call that up and say, I want to call somebody in order to do blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And then we're going to go inside and take a deep breath and ask to feel our inner child. And we're going to tell the inner child that we're going to take a big step and we're going to do something really different.
Okay.
And when we say that, what happens? In your body, and everybody at home, you might even want to have a little piece of paper and list something, because there are certain, for me, there are certain really staunch little tensions that come up, and there's a definite attitude of pulling back.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening in you, Ted?
Just a slight twinge in my stomach, as I imagine that. Just a slight twinge.
Okay, what's happening with your saliva?
Yeah, there's a little more saliva.
You see, these are very subtle, but there's a really deep place in you that is really holding back, like, okay, here's how I perceive what's going on in Ted and his inner child, and I'll take a look at some people out there in a minute. But it looks like there's a part of you that just wants to tense up and be quite a watcher. watching like mad.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
Watching like mad, you said?
Watching, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Eyes, I mean, we would exaggerate it like a cartoon and say, eyes darting back and forth and watching to make sure that you know what's going on in the room.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, so that can stifle our adulthood, if you will. That can really freeze our inner child in a place of panic. See, the thing about options, for example, is you have the opportunity to go in there and do it as an investigative possibility and as a, I won't say a lark, because that precondition sort of I'm irresponsible. We're not wanting that.
Mm-hmm.
But the inner child who's kind of coached to let go of the tension, which is the game that I want you to teach yourself right now, is you can let go of that tension, and the adolescent goes, why not? Let's try it. Let's give it a whirl, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you're, the adult's saying, and I've got a lot of resources that I can look at to including my intuition, to help me do this really well.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But the little child that's frozen, he didn't really freeze, but he looks pretty stiff and tense.
Yeah.
That part looks like he's congesting your throat.
Yeah.
In your salivary glands and so on. So we're going to also release him, but I want people at home. There's somebody who's got an inner child that seems to be wanting to freak out, like yell, and you probably would never do that. But if you're really honest doing this kind of work, you can go, ah, she feels like going, ah.
Sure.
I can't do it. I can't do it. Make me safe, you know.
Yeah.
And if you let yourself have the humor of letting yourself know what's going on, remember that we have recordings that are coming up on many levels. So what we want to do is call in the guides and angels and ask for help. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, I forgot one part of it. First of all, we want to call in the guides and angels and ask for help.
Okay.
But then we want to exaggerate the presence of that little inner child who's in reaction. Like, really exaggerate it.
Okay, yeah, I can feel it in my stomach now.
Yeah, and it's in your chest, too, I feel like. It's in your chest and your shoulders.
Mostly in my stomach.
Okay, and that's your power center. Are you talking belly or stomach?
Well, I don't know. What's the difference?
Stomach is up under the rib cage. Belly is below, around the navel.
It's sort of between those two.
Okay, so the power center in the subconscious, which, you know, would be obvious anyway, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching you going, okay, and it seems like, well, anyway, exaggerate where it feels in your body and ask for help from your guides and angels, and let's just command a soothing presence for this inner child, soothing. Command total release of that tension now, total release. Get your angels to take it.
Yeah. That does seem to help.
It does, doesn't it? And it's not very complicated. My stomach just growled and gurgled as we did that, and I think that was yours, because I am an empath. And somebody, it could have been mine, but I think it was yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guides are saying this, that if you let yourself call up your inner child under these circumstances, you're going to find it much smoother.
Okay, so I call it at the time or later on or before?
Probably doesn't matter, but as soon as you're discussing it with yourself, no, it would be at the time that you're actually stretching forward, because
okay,
that's when your body starts to go into betrayal.
It does, God.
Yeah, and betrayal, the guides are using that word, betrayal, and it is a good word under those circumstances.
What about, it comes up really late at night, like 2:30, 3 in the morning. I'm wanting to sleep, and it's just, boy, there's that stomach point.
Yeah, what do you think you're doing? What are the voices in your head saying? Anything?
I want to sleep. You know? I guess it's sort of like undecided, or, oh, this is a great thing, or...
No. Isn't that pretty normal that in the dead of night is when all that kind of deep subconscious trauma starts to roll through our thinking?
Yeah.
That's when our dreams take care of the same
thing.
Yeah,
oh, I had this real vivid dream with this big fire that it was... There was a danger of burning up my place.
Oh, great. And
yeah.
Did you understand it?
Yeah, I could. It was definitely talking about this whole thing.
But, you know, the other thing about fire is it's transformational, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think you're going to do really well with it, but I also see you getting a teaching job.
Yeah, okay.
And so if you do both of them, because it doesn't look like a full-time teaching, it looks like three quarters or something.
Oh, yeah, that would be fine.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So would you go into a high school or junior high? Well, I could see you doing a high school. The point of junior high school scares me, even in high school a little bit.
What's that? You're not asking me if I would go. You're saying...
No, about me,
would
yeah.
I suggest you go into a junior high school?
Yeah.
Looks like it's high school.
Oh, okay. That would be better.
Yeah. I think so. It looks like that you are predisposed to teaching kind of adults and so on.
Yeah.
I'd want you to be up with the older kids.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Ted. It's always wonderful to talk to
you. Oh, it's great. Yes, it is. And I don't want to take up so much of other people's time.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks, Ronnie.
Be well. Keep going.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know what's really interesting about that call is when I was looking out there at people, I see a number of ways that the inner child responds. And she responds or he responds sometimes in stark raving terror. And sometimes that can have a huge impact on people's eating styles. You know, we talk about eating for, filling that great gap inside. Well, there are some people whose trauma when you're very small leaves kind of a big hole in there, a big gap inside, and they want to eat a whole lot in order to get past that, and or in order to fill that. So there are a couple of people I looked at, and it looked like terror that came up when you step forward into something that's a huge, huge step. And again, that would be accessing that feeling, really getting in touch with the whole. I mean, you can imagine it as a small version of you with arms and legs and heart and all that. And as you imagine, you can really feel the attitudes that are present in there. Call it up, exaggerate it, ask for help, soothe that person, and command total release of that tension now. And it changes the way you go into the world about every project. It's amazing. I'd also like us to see the adolescent inside. We're going to move to the adult, but you see that if you want to go into the world as an adult, you really have to address some of these hidden issues. This is somebody was telling me recently that they'd worked on themselves so much they shouldn't have to go back into their childhood. Well, it's kind of ironic, but guess what? It doesn't work that way because your inner child is always with you. And the stand that child took is still going on strong inside of you. So I don't care if you're 95 years old, you want to step forward and do something you've never done before that might, cause you a loss of funds or cause you disgrace in the community if you failed or so on. You're going to bring up your inner child, and if you haven't given yourself a way to connect to that inner attitude that might not be so obvious, you're just going to keep bringing up the same old thing. It doesn't matter how old you get. I don't believe that we actually get totally healed. I think we live a life of transformation, and to me, that's what the integrated life really is. I was looking up some stuff on the web because I wanted to talk about adulthood, and I couldn't kind of get the reference material I wanted. The guides have a lot of information, but I thought I should back it with some other reference material. And it was really fun because all of a sudden they brought up, and I think, Anne, you're listening, and others of my friends who are brilliant psychological beings, and they brought up that spirituality, as you get older, there's a kind of an interesting, healthy narcissism in people that have a very strong spiritual bent. So I chuckled. If I had had time, I would have looked up the word narcissism to get it clear, but I was on this track. But my understanding of narcissism is someone who's really occupied with himself so much that they can't really pay attention to the world around them. And this is kind of interesting. A lot of us on this path, a lot of us listening to this show, are narcissistic in that we are always working on ourselves, so we're always focusing on ourselves. And what it talked about was a healthy kind of narcissism, which is my interpretation, my words or my guide's words are basically dropping back in and really centering in the truth of self and one's authenticity and so on, first and foremost. So when you relate, you have the integrity of self there. And your greatest responsibility you know, we're very responsible for our lives, our livelihood, for our incomes and so on. But our greatest responsibility is truly to track back in and find that centering of self, isn't it? So that is kind of a sort of a welcome, I would say almost like an oxymoron of understanding that healthy narcissism is something that we grow into as we get older. So call in and let me know what you think of that. I'm sure a few of you felt kind of jerked about that. I also had an email about someone's inner adolescent, and she was telling me how hard it was for her. This is a woman who's a very good healer, a wonderful healer, who works with animals and works out in nature and works with a lot of people in many bodywork ways. But like many of us, many healers have a number of issues that probably came from other lives and heaven knows, other galaxies. We have them right up on our sleeves. What do they say? You wear your heart in your sleeves. Well, a lot of us wear a lot of our journey on our sleeves. And she was talking about how she worked on her adolescent, her inner adolescent, by calling it up and feeling it and understanding it. The adolescent was always going into a state of deep trauma and deep horror or terror, like I was talking about the inner child. And she had gone into a reactive force when she was young and had sex very young. But it was not, it's like when people rape people, when men rape, it's not an act of sexuality. It's an act of either revenge or violence or conquering or something of that ilk. And her youthful sexuality was more of a way of driving herself into the world and being covered. Being powerful and being reactive and so on. So it's interesting that as she brings up her adolescence more and more, she kept coming into these turmoils of feeling terror, horror. There was a lot of kind of, in quotes here, violence from the turning point adolescent years of her life and how that's really underneath, that underpins a number of situations in her world, but usually they're situations that bring her more and more into who she really is and who her work is. So that's the area in which her adventure evokes deep terror. And it sort of makes sense because that's the early part of her adolescence, and it's the part where she literally threw herself off the wall and into kind of a quasi-violent situation in order to have vengeance against parents that she didn't agree with or so on. You see how we can build up, and always it's the building up of the emotional energy, building up of the traumatic energy, and then that pulses away inside. The next thing you know, you're 94 years old or something, and you're trying to make a change, and up comes the inner adolescent, and she's horrified or she's terrified or she feels like she's going to be ripped apart if she steps forward. It's a really, really important issue as far as the radiance. This young woman is going to make quite a name for herself as a healer. And as she steps forward and works with people, the radiance that she brings through from an ever-increasing high energy. And as she brings that through, she wants to clear the vehicle for that and so move some of this other reactive energy. But I'm telling you something, you can really do it well if you pay attention to your inner adolescent, calm her down, soothe her, recognize her for what was she trying to do? What was she trying to do when she put herself into those vulnerable situations? And hearing her and talking to her and writing to her and getting her feedback, and then she becomes more balanced, she becomes more expressed, and she can integrate the goal that she did, what she achieved. Now, there are some people whose inner adolescence is quite interesting. It has almost like there's a couple of you out there I see. One of them's a woman who's very tall, and she's kind of rangy looking, probably a bit scrawny maybe, or nice and slim, however you want to put it. And that she feels like her inner adolescent is like it's like a person just like herself inside whose arms and legs are crossed, and she's pulling away all the time. She's pushing away from the host body, from my friend that I'm looking at. And she's, so my friend will go to start, or this client will go to start a new thing, and she'll really challenge herself on a new adventure. And then this part always holds back. It's the most frustrating thing. And she feels a loss of energy, a kind of a drained feeling, and an awful lot of body conflict and body tension. I see it right along her, on the back of her shoulders, where it gets really bony down there, just below the neck, and this incredible tension that comes up. She even aches in the lower back, or just above the waist there. It's like the back curves down, and in the vulnerability in the sacrum area. And it's funny because it looks to me like a person sitting there relaxed with an inner person pulling against her frame really hard. So there's always a lot of tension. She even gets a little bit of headache work sometimes. And it's just those two parts of her. And again, it's like dropping inside and bringing forward this aspect of oneself. This adolescent who learned not to trust adults at around 15 or 16, really in a big way. She learned that she couldn't trust them, so she kind of folded her proverbial arms and held herself in that posture and held way back. And it's interesting because she's a woman of strong sensitivity and a woman of very sort of high ideals and a desire to be of great service. And a part of her is holding back all the time. So when she accomplishes, it's like she's dragging herself up the hill at some level. Creates body pain, it causes discomfort, it causes some sleep problems. Either she sleeps too much and too deeply, or she can't get to sleep at all. And it's pretty interesting. I know that if you're listening to this show now, or any of you, we all have some version of that, okay? Call it up and feel it. Absolutely feel what's going on. Call it up, feel it, exaggerate it, and command total release. Always call in your angels when you do that too. And say, take this part of me and release it. And I believe that you're going to feel a softening in your shoulders and a little more ease. And if you could do this on a regular basis for a while, every time you have some little issue or something that you're wanting to move yourself forward, stop for a few minutes and get to know that adolescent attitude part of yourself. Give it respect. Give yourself huge respect at that level. And love yourself and release her tension, because she was holding back for good reasons when she was younger. And I know another one. I'm looking at many of you out there, because you're not calling in. That's okay. I'm calling out. I know another one who, when she was small, was really kind of patient and watched and was very, not malleable. Relatively centered in herself and relatively perceptive. But then a whole bunch of trauma went on, not personally to her, but she was very much in a whirlwind, a traumatic reaction. Her father got sick, he almost died, people came and went, and he got better. But the trauma was when she was about 3 years old. And she learned that at some level she had to hold everything together. So when I look at her, as she's moving forward now in her 20s, as she moves forward, she has a real resistance in her about almost everything that she needs to do. And it's, I want all of you to do this with me right now. Because the reason that the inner child developed the resistance is a good reason. The resistance was developed to hold life together, as she perceived as a small person, for her whole family. She didn't know what was coming apart, but a lot seemed to be. I mean, her dad could have been dying, and everybody was in some kind of state of change. So she developed the resistance, and now the resistance takes her and holds her down much hotter than she needs to be. So let's all of us take a look inside of our bodies right now. First thing you want to do is wrap yourself in light, wrap yourself in light, wrap yourself in light. Good, because even over the radio, we can take each other on. And then I want you to call up all the energy of resistance in your body, mind, all the energy of resistance. And notice where it is in your body. Mine seems to be right across my chest and right across my clavicle and up the back of my head. That's funny. I learned that the back of the head inside the brain holds a lot of our past programming. And yet I've noticed also that when I hold energy there, it's always because of places I am and where there's a lot of people. I seem to attract or magnetize a lot of people's energy into my past programming, which is a good example of how our subconscious magnetizes in other people's pain and subconscious matching issues. But in any case, let's call up all your energy of resistance and notice where it is in your body. Is it in your feet, in your ankle, in your chest, in your belly, in your earlobes, in your nose, and exaggerate it. And then ask for help as you command total release of your resistance now. How does that feel? Do you just have a little bit of it drop, or does a lot of it move? Because let's go back to our friend who's in her 20s now. It would seem to be really helpful if she, as she moved forward and encountered her resistance, if she would stop and really call up her inner child. It seems like when she does, and we're just doing it with her right now, even if she's not listening, let's call up her inner child and feel its presence in the body. Mm-hmm. And that inner child is holding back and wanting to be apparently isolated. Yeah, and wants to be separate from all of these crazy influences that are going on around her and wants to look after herself. So let's talk to that inner child and see if she needs to have some help so that she knows that she doesn't have to be in charge of looking after. So you want to have a little dialogue with your inner child saying, oh, you feel like you have to do everything yourself. Come on. I can help you. I can make you feel safe because I'm a big girl now. Yeah. And as we do that with her, I see her turning a little bit and softening a little bit. Because these kind of exercises sometimes take training. That little inner child is going to feel the energy of someone really knowing who she is and wanting to bring her forward. And then ask for help as we command total release of that little inner child's distress or anxiety. And then what we would do is move forward and ask to feel and experience her adolescent. You see how we'll go from one phase to the other. Her adolescent, who in her resistance, of course, has to be rebellious. She has no choice. Because how is she going to resist being taken over by authority or being run by people that at some level the little inner child has decided can't handle it? Okay, so she starts resisting like mad as an adolescent and becomes rebellious and moody and difficult to be, and angry. Let's exaggerate that awareness. And as we do it, I watch this adolescent, the inner adolescent, come awake and alive and kind of glare at me. That's okay. But we need to know who she is and to help her identify herself and bring her forward. And then we're asking the person that I'm talking about to turn and say to the inner child or to say to her angels, I release you from all your tensions. I release you because I'm able to handle it without that resistance now. And so we command total release of the tensions. And then ostensibly, and I would say this with a little practice, our person who's well in her 20s would then be freer to become the adult she wants to be, which is a self-styled, not isolated, but independent kind of character who does life the way she wants and has the ability to handle responsibilities without nailing them to the floor, which is what the little isolated inner child does. You see how it works? It's pretty interesting stuff. So anyway, we want to be, as an adult, you want to be centered in the truth of self. You want to be authentic, true to who you are. And when we're in reaction like that, we're not true to who we are, we're true to who we reacted like. And where does it come from? I mean, my gosh, we could be born with that. Some of you were born having been, what, royalty, or having been famous, or having been poor, or having been starving, or having been dumped by a lover or a mate, or drowned on a ship. You've been born with certain kinds of attitudes and certain kind of defensive energies, haven't you? It's so interesting. And so who knows where all of this stuff starts. So let's take a minute and finish this off. I don't think anybody's going to call now. Let me see. I'll give you the number one more time because we have just enough time for one caller, and we're going to do a structure and then we're going to be done. The numbers are 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. From Canada, 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. I'll say them again. 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. If you're in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if you're wanting to call through the direct line, 530-876-3222. I'd love you to call in. Otherwise, we're going to do a structure, and we're going to do a little bit of creation, and we'll be done for this week. All right, let's do... remember, the point of today is what you're going to radiate. Now, what this girl in her 20s is going to radiate is more of the truth of self. Now, you could say, if you just move that reactive, defensive energy from the inner child or from the adolescent, how can you find the truth of self? Well, the more we clear, my guides always say this, that 95% of our job, trying to reclaim our authentic self, trying to raise our fields and frequency, trying to move beyond the limiting kind of mind-numbing stuff of the status quo, breathing in everybody else's thoughts and feelings and running our minds with the media or whatever, all right? All of that stuff that we clear releases us to the amazing light stream that comes through. That's ourself. You are a stream of light that comes through. And as you move through yourself, what you give to the world is a higher and higher frequency energy. The low stuff comes from old shadow material. I've been working with Jackie for months now on the shadow and how our shadow, it holds everything that we don't express, and it holds the collective everything that we don't express, and it also holds the individual everything we don't express. So we pass on in the collective. The collective is consciousness that we all share. So we pass on from the collective deep fears, deep darknesses, deep shames, and so on. And so the more we clear, the more we get in touch with that light stream that is our own. And that's really one of the goals that we've got in this life, is to be in truth with yourself, to bring your gifts forward, to bring them into the world, clear, 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 so that you're not a product of the collective, but your light stream's picking up wisdom as it goes. So let's do a quick structure before we're over, before we've ended, and I'll say goodbye for today. One more time, let's call in the light above your head. This is going to be a little different. I'm going to take a chance and do it differently. And above your head, about 2.5 miles, is a golden ball. It's very, very, very bright. And below your spine, about 20 feet, another golden ball, which is also very bright. In the I Am books, they talk about how the whole world has layers and layers and streams of gold running through it in order to be the sunshine that keeps the heat in the planet. It's beautiful, and how it keeps the radiance. It brings conscious radiance throughout the entire planet. I love that. Now, from the upper golden ball to the lower golden ball, drop a filament of radiant white light. And now create a... let's just do the same one. A circle of golden balls all around your body with an 8-foot radius from the body. And from the upper ball to the circle of balls, drop many, many, a myriad of pink radiant lights, streams of light. And from the circle of golden balls to the lower ball, many, many streams of pink light. And now inside that, inside the circle of balls, the many streams of pink light from the up part down are a canopy, and from the lower part up are a canopy, so that you're in this really wonderful, radiant pink canopy, pointy thing, structure. And inside of that, you're inside of a crystal ball, and the crystal ball's edges nudge the inside of the structure. And whilst you're in this crystal ball, it's very beautiful. Can you feel your temperature shifting? Can you feel the energies moving differently? Oh my, it's the most generous and the most soothing, feminine, creative, womb-like energy. And within that, the double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing upwardly and three-sided pyramid pointing down. And you want to spin that and spin it and spin it and spin it. And as it spins, see in front of you, you've been spinning like mad, now see in front of you a magical screen, and on that screen, put yourself, put your child self, yeah, and see your child self with her attitudes, her fears, his attitudes, his fears, his tensions, his afraid of being nothing. Some of the stances that he has that are maybe not so comfortable, or that she has. Yeah. And then see yourself in that structure going in and saying, you know what, that was then. Right now, we're different. I think we're off the air, are we? Almost.